You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about a game from back in the day. This week, episode 34, we are talking WWF Attitude for the PlayStation 1, the Nintendo 64, and sadly, but eventually, the Sega Dreamcast. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for coming back. If that intro didn't just flash you back to the late 90s, nothing is gonna fucking take you back there. I even left, like, I found a clean one where it just cut off at the end of the song, and then I was like, no, I'm gonna throw the crowd in there too, just so I can feel a little bit like old JR when I get to do the intro for this week. I should do that every week from now on, just the fucking streamers and the crowd going off. I really hope this one doesn't get pulled off YouTube. I know my Vice City episode did because of some copyright infringement for the music, which I don't entirely get because I'm not charging any money for it, but whatever. So hopefully this one doesn't get pulled off there. I really suggest you guys hang around to the end of this one. I have got some killer tunes in this one just from that Attitude era. You know, I had to pick a couple of my favorites. This is going to be a good episode. Honestly, the game is kind of, yeah, but the fucking episode and the music is going to be rad. My buddy this week, or my guest this week, is a new friend of mine, Mr. Kyle Shaw. You guys, if you don't know him, he is actually very involved in the independent wrestling scene here in Alberta, and he has his own podcast based around the local wrestling scene, particularly in Edmonton, Monday Night Shaw, which you can find just by searching Backbreaker Media on Spotify, your favorite podcast services. Another one of my regular guests, Andre, has a podcast on there as well. I've been a guest on his podcast before. before. So if you're into wrestling, I recommend checking them out. Backbreaker Media, you'll find them. Go support some local indie wrestling in your community. It doesn't have to be here in Edmonton, just wherever. Wrestling is the best, you guys. If you're not a wrestling fan, I can't even imagine you've listening to this episode. So I am not even holding back. I'm going to straight up geek out with my wrestling fandom for the next 40 minutes or so. Quickly, if you're not following us yet, throw us a follow on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Member the Game, just like Remember the Game without the RE at the front. And we have a website, rememberthegamepodcast.com, where you can find all of our old episodes. You'll find blogs. I have some more things in the works kind of to go up there. So please just check it out. There's an emailing list. And then every time we post something new, you'll get an email. And if we don't post anything, as far as I can tell, you won't get an email. I signed up for it to test it, and I haven't gotten anything. Excuse me. So I think you'll be okay. All right. It's all the promotional stuff. Now we can get into talking wrestling. I love wrestling. You know, it pro wrestling is as big a part of my childhood as video games are, if not bigger. You know, if when I came up with the idea for this podcast, the two ideas I had kicking around in my head for podcasts were wrestling and video games. And there's already a million of both. And so I figured finally I would just jump in on one and go with video games. I have an idea for a wrestling one that I have been kicking around for some time that's kind of a spinoff of this one. And maybe eventually it'll get off the ground. My focus right now is just trying to build an audience for Remember the Game. But who knows? You know, we might branch out. I could talk wrestling for days. Like for fucking days. It's the best form of entertainment there is when it's done right. And you could argue that the WWE is not doing anything right now, but back in the late 90s, in the Attitude Era, they were fucking doing everything right. It was the best. And like when I got even recording this episode and then looking up the box art for this episode and the music and just do my homework for this one, like it's PlayStation, it's Nintendo 64, it's pro wrestling. It just flashes me back to a day where there was baggy jeans and frosted tips and fucking Limp Bizkit and just no responsibilities. Oh, God, what a great time. Also, this game is dedicated to the memory of Owen Hart, who passed away right around the time that this game came out. And R.I.P., sir. Owen Hart was one of the greats. And not to, you know, put a somber notice on this episode, or a somber tone to this episode, but he's Owen Hart, man. He's the best. So we love you, Owen. And R.I.P. Okay, I have another wrestling episode recorded as well, you guys. Sorry. I know that maybe this seems a little bit ranty. I'm still coming down from that fucking music. I do have another episode recorded that is also a wrestling episode. I'm going to keep that one in the bank for a little while. My hope is to drop that one the week of WrestleMania so I can kind of promote it while everyone's talking wrestling and stuff anyways. I'm going to probably review just about every wrestling game ever invented on this podcast by the time it's said and done, because wrestling is the fucking shit. And wrestling video games are awesome when they're done right. And as you're about to hear, some things WWF Attitude did incredibly well, and some things WWF Attitude fucked up, and we'll get into both. And everyone that's listening is talking, or is thinking, I guarantee you, if you grew up playing video games in these days, you're thinking, or wrestling games, I should say, you're thinking of No Mercy, or WrestleMania 2000, or WCW and WWE Revenge, and I know they are the better games. You'll find out all about that in a couple of minutes when I get into the episode. As far as what I've been playing this week, I am 1,000% down the Octopath Traveler wormhole on my Switch. I think I talked about it last week, but if you haven't played it and you have a Switch and you like JRPGs, do yourself a service and go get it. It's basically like a modern version of a 16-bit JRPG along the lines of Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger and stuff. I fucking adore it. I'm gonna put 100 hours into this game. I have no doubt in my mind. And also, last week, Nintendo dropped Tetris 99 on the Switch, which is a free Battle Royale Tetris game, which sounds so stupid. When I first heard it, I was like, that sounds ridiculous. But it basically is just Tetris against 98 other people, and the last one standing wins. And I am a Tetris fiend. And this game it was made for me. I love this game. I can't stop playing it. So Tetris 99, check it out if you have Switch and you have Nintendo Online. It is free. Maybe I'll do a Tetris episode of this show eventually. I don't know how long you could talk fucking Tetris, but I adore that game. It's like, it's my ultimate comfort food for video games. Maybe even more so than Super Mario World is Tetris. That's what I've been playing. I'm resisting the urge to just go down a wrestling wormhole and talk wrestling for the next hour. I'm just going to shut up, and I'm going to cue the music in a second, and we're going to get right to the podcast. I am not going to do it like I usually do and play the music in. I'm just going to hit the music at the end of the intro, and as soon as you guys hear it, you're going to know why. You may already know what song is coming. I really pray this doesn't get taken off of podcast services and YouTube. for copyright infringement and stuff like that. I'm not trying to steal anything. I'm not charging a penny. I don't make it. This podcast costs me money. I don't make fucking anything off of this. I don't understand why the Vice City one got taken off YouTube. I don't think it got taken off any podcast services. If you listen to it on a service and any episode has ever been taken down or flagged, I'd really appreciate it if you reached out to me and told me. And that way I could fight the good fight and fucking go after them and raise a little bit of hell. I really hope that's not the case with this one. Oh yeah, quickly, I forgot to mention it off the top. If you guys are enjoying this, leave me a review, please. I'd really appreciate it. Anywhere you can, share it. Anywhere you can. We should be surpassing 3,000 downloads right away. And if you had told me that before 35 episodes of the podcast, I'd be at 3,000 downloads, I would have never believed you in a million years. So thank all you guys so much. Yeah, good enough. I'm going to shut up. I'm too excited to get into the podcast this week. I know this one's been a little bit rambly, but I'm just fired up from that fucking music. Ah, I got to find a way to work that music into just my intro for the podcast every week. That's enough, you guys. Kyle Shaw and I talking pro wrestling. We're talking Attitude Era. We're talking video games from the 90s. You're putting it all into one sexy little package. We are going to sit back and relax and look at the video game that, God, I had that planted in my head and it sounded so cool, and then I fucked it all up. This week's episode is WWF Attitude, you guys. I hope you enjoy it. Check it out. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. First and foremost, newcomer to the show, buddy of mine that I've known for about half an hour now, Facebook friends, Kyle, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you. And, we have a mutual buddy in Andre C.
Yeah, he's a regular on the show. Wrestling, we're all wrestling nerds.
Big time.
I love us the best. I could literally just like sit here and talk. We literally sat here talking wrestling for about 20 minutes before I hit the button. Oh, yeah. And he's like, we've been recording this whole time. I was no.
There's been times where my podcast has gone like 2 hours and it's like, oh.
Just rambling about wrestling. It's the best. You can talk about it forever. So with that in mind, we'll combine the best of both worlds today. And as you'll already have known from the intro to this episode, this week, Kyle and I are going to look back at WWF Attitude for Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation and the Dreamcast. You were saying downstairs you were the 64 version.
I owned the 64 version, yes. I currently do have a copy of the PlayStation 1 version, but not any way to actually play it.
Right.
The Dreamcast version, I don't... I played it once or twice, and actually, it's probably the superior version.
Man, I'll tell you, like, and we're not going to go on a Dreamcast rant. This is about WWF Attitude, but the Dreamcast, and I know my buddy Chris has listened to this, and he has such a hard-on for that system. The Dreamcast may be amongst the most criminally underrated systems in the history of video games. It had all the potential in the world. It's just that the Sega had fucked up too many times, and no one trusted them at that point.
Yeah, that's kind of like the consensus that I hear. Like, I watch a lot of like video game videos on YouTube and stuff. Like, I spend a lot of time doing that. Too much, anyway. But honestly, I think the only game I ever have played on Dreamcast is WWF Attitude. And yeah. I remember that the one thing that set it apart was that the ropes were textured. Like,
Really? They weren't just like the red lines? Yeah. Like they, wow, that's technology, hey?
Fucking textured. That was the only system the ropes were textured on.
It's funny because I've been watching videos of this game just to get ready for this podcast because I haven't played this game in 15 plus years. You know what I mean? Like, to be honest, and we'll get more into this in a minute, but WrestleMania 2000 came out, I think, about 6 months after this, if that.
Not even.
And once I got my hands on WrestleMania 2000, I loved Attitude. But once I got my hands on WrestleMania 2000, Attitude kind of got kicked to the curb.
Like, when Attitude came out, I would rent it constantly from like Blockbuster Video. At that time, that was still a thing.
Yeah, you young kids.
Anyway, so I would go, I would rent this all the time. And then Christmas Eve came, and I actually got a copy of WWF Attitude, and I was allowed to open like one gift on Christmas Eve.
Right? Oh, you fuck.
So I opened up WWF Attitude, played it all night. The next morning, I got WrestleMania 2000 for Christmas and never played Attitude again.
You fucking Christmas Eve kids. I've ranted out here before. All my buddies got to open gifts on Christmas Eve, and we didn't. And it was fucking torture just to see. Because, like, you know, when you grew up in those days, you knew which ones were video games, right?
Typically, I was only allowed to open the soft, mushy ones that we knew were, like, clothing. Clothes, and it was 9 times out of 10, it was pajamas.
Yeah. Because the video game, I mean, it was a little harder when you got into, like, the PlayStation 1 because it could have been a CD. But, like, a game box, like a Super Nintendo box or Nintendo 64, like, you fucking knew.
Yeah.
You knew
unless
that
your
was.
Parents were crafty.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even when I got WrestleMania 2000, my parents, like, they didn't even put it under the tree. Like, it was like I opened up all the gifts and was, like, super disappointed that I didn't get WrestleMania 2000. And then they were like, oh, here, there's one more, right? Fuck. And then it's shaped like a big old box because, you know, like the parents were crafty. And that'd be
torture. So Attitude is the, so I'll get back to this just for a second. I had it for PlayStation, and I had both. I had a Nintendo 64, I had my PlayStation.
The PlayStation version is also superior to the N64 version.
It is, yeah. My buddy had this. I would play both, but yeah, it was. I remember getting it for PlayStation. I bought a multi-tap and two cheap, they weren't Mad Cats at the time. It was whatever the cheap controller manufacturer was back then. It was before Mad Cats. But I bought two cheap PlayStation controllers, just so I had four. And we would play that game for fucking hours and hours.
Me too.
Again, before WrestleMania, and then it was over. Yeah. Because the thing is like, I mean, Warzone was rad. Like, do you remember Warzone?
Oh, yeah. No, like, these games were all made by Acclaim Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they're kind of birthed out of, there was another game called WrestleMania the Arcade Game, which is like a Mortal Kombat clone.
Yeah.
But it's basically like WWE skinned Mortal Kombat, but nowhere near as good Mortal Kombat. And then after that, they did like another one called In Your House, and then they did Warzone.
Yeah.
And then Attitude was the follow up to Warzone.
Right. Yeah. And I like, because I never, like, I mean, I remember playing World Tour and I remember playing Revenge on the Nintendo 64, like those beloved THQ wrestling games.
Did you ever play WCW versus the World on PlayStation?
I did.
Yeah, that one's like a weird, like, not so common one that people don't really know about.
I went through a fad where I probably played just about every wrestling game made during those days. Like I remember WrestleMania. I remember, that. I remember, like, Thunder, Backstage Assault.
Thunder was awful.
Yo, Thunder was so bad. But it was WCW, too, at the time, right?
The best part of Thunder was the menu screen where you could, like, click on a wrestler.
And they would cut, like, a promo.
Pick me. Yeah. I think it was Raven. He'd be like, don't pick me. Pick somebody else.
Raven was the best. So those games I enjoyed a lot, but I didn't watch WCW back then. And so I would play those games. I kind of knew who some of the wrestlers were, but it was the Attitude Era. Like, I was a WWF kid, right? Like, I loved it. As I'm sure you know, here. Right, yeah. So Warzone was the one where, like, to me, Warzone, and it's funny now to look at it and be like, there was like a dozen wrestlers. There wasn't really any modes. It was a little skeleton-y, but it was cool. It seemed more realistic than the THQ games. The THQ games seemed more cartoony.
Yeah.
This seemed more like simulation-y style, you know?
Yeah, Warzone was a real, like, don't get me wrong, for its time, it was good.
Absolutely.
But you go back and play it now, and it doesn't hold up whatsoever.
No.
Neither does Attitude.
No, but
Warzone especially, like, you couldn't even choose your opponent.
Warzone seems almost like a demo version of Attitude at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very much
and
so.
I remember when Attitude, dude, I remember, like, buying all the gaming magazines, and online was still new at that time, but I remember reading a little bit online, and I was so fucking excited for WWF Attitude. Yeah. And then when it came out, I can still picture that red cape, like the red title, like the box art in my head. Yeah. And I was so excited for that game. And then I got my hands on it. And I remember, like, I vividly remember firing it up for the first time. I used to play with my friend Sean and my friend Miles all the time. And I know Sean's listening to this, so there you go, buddy. And I remember flipping to that character select screen for the first time just to see the roster. And again, take WCW, those games out of it, because I liked them, but I know most of those wrestlers. To look at this Attitude Era video game and see this I'd never seen a roster. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, now you play...
There's like one guy on the roster where you're like, I don't really remember seeing him wrestle all that much. Like, right. I think Dr. Death is in there.
He is.
And don't get me wrong.
Yeah, like, I was going to bring him up.
He's a very great wrestler. Fantastic. died of cancer a while ago. But... wasn't like a super mainstay in 1999.
Not at all.
So like
no.
when I got the game, I was like, who's this guy?
Yeah, me too. There was a few of those. But it was so cool because like in most games, like I said, you get a dozen guys. And you know, going back to the Super Nintendo, like you said, the WrestleMania, the arcade game. And like I used to play like WWF Royal Rumble and WWF Raw on my Super Nintendo in those games.
Okay.
They would always have like, you know, they'd have the main eventers, right? They'd have a dozen guys. It'd be Taker,
well, WrestleMania,
Bret Hart.
The arcade game for Super Nintendo had six guys.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one where like Undertaker would hit you with a tombstone. And stuff,
oh yeah,
right?
And fucking souls out his hands.
I never thought of comparing it to Mortal Kombat, but you're right. That's what it was.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
Mortal Kombat wrestling. Yeah,
like Undertaker in the arcade game legit has the exact same moveset as Shang Tsung.
Fuck.
Except he can't change into other people.
Right. Yeah. But we'll put WWF on it and sell it.
Yeah.
So all these other games had just these main event guys. You know, like I think the most like even going to Warzone, I think the most mid card guy, like the headbangers were in it.
Yeah.
You know, and
after
that, it was mostly upper tier guys, right?
For sure.
Whereas,
and
like,
even at that time, the Headbangers were WWE tag champions.
Yeah, they were a predominant tag team, right? Whereas then you go into Attitude, and like you said, Dr. Death, Steve Blackman, Al Snow, Kurgan is in it, Taka Michinoku. You could play
I
as
think
Paul
even Draws
Bear.
Draws is in that.
Draws, yeah. It just is like, and I mean, anyone listening to this that watched wrestling in those days knows that, like, one of the coolest things about the Attitude Era was that everyone was doing something.
Oh, yeah.
There was everyone mattered, at least a little bit. You know what I mean? And, like, to play this game, like you said, you flip through and you're literally like, oh, there's Al Snow. That's, and, like, no one should be excited
Al
about
Snow
Al Snow.
Al Snow is the man.
I like Al Snow. I'm just...
Like, just to give you a little background on myself, I'm the ring announcer for Real Canadian Wrestling. I've been doing their shows. I did pretty much every single show they did last year.
Yeah.
I've announced Al Snow. I've announced
sick.
Jeff Jarrett. I've announced Ron Farouk Simmons. I've announced D'Lo Brown.
Oh.
Like a lot of these guys that were in this game.
I thought of him as I was watching the videos to get ready for this. And whenever I saw a clip of D'Lo, I love D'Lo Brown.
He's the man too. Like
I love D'Lo Brown.
The only guy that was legit like a complete douchebag and I'm not even gonna like tell you to edit this part out because everybody's already heard about the story on my podcast, but yeah, Jeff Jarrett's
that was gonna be my guess.
He's a dink.
I hate Jeff Jarrett. Don't even get me we could do an hour just on how much I despise Jeff Jarrett.
I'm glad he's turned his problems around, but
don't
yeah, he legit was at one of our shows showed up kind of in not he wasn't sober. I approached him like 10 minutes before the show started to ask him for his hometown and his weight. Like I knew his hometown, but I didn't know how much he weighed. So I just, you know, asked him and he spent 25 minutes making fun of me and like like I said, I approached him 10 minutes before the show. So there was 400 people downstairs waiting for 15 minutes. Well, Jeff Jarrett made me sing Kumbaya with him.
Fuck. I'll tell you right now, if you're listening to this and you like Jeff Jarrett, stop listening to my podcast. Because I fucking hate Jeff Jarrett.
I don't hate Jeff Jarrett.
I'll stand by it. I hate Jeff Jarrett.
Honestly, like, even though he was unpleasant to deal with, it's a memory I'll never forget.
Sure.
So
one of the best thing Jeff Jarrett ever did was carry around one of Owen Hart's tag team titles. Fuck you, Jeff Jarrett. Anyway, so Attitude, that was one of the cool things right away. That's the thing that jumps out at me the most. That was the thing that jumped out at me the most as soon as I got it, was like that you finally had a full roster.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't just playing and it's funny because like you primarily play as the top of the card guys anyway. But the fact that you had the option, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This game is the genesis for a lot of things that are continuing into even today's games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a create a pay-per-view mode in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of my favorite things to do.
I was going
to
say that. Like, it's this game, like, I mean, people look at, like, the WWE, like, the 2K games now, and you see these rosters of fucking 300 wrestlers, and you can create anything. You can run your own. But it's like, I really feel like Attitude was the first one. Like, Attitude planted the seeds that grew into what these games are now, you know?
Yeah, like, the create a pay-per-view mode is revolutionary,
as
far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I remember us doing that. We used to like have our own roster, like our own federation. You could create a wrestler in that game with more depth than ever before.
It basically had a very, very simplified version of create an arena associated with that too. Like you could change the lighting, the color of the ropes, what ring aprons were on,
sure,
what backstage set you were using. It was like three options, but you know, like that's where what we have today has come from. And in fact, there's even been step backs. Like if you play 2K19, you can't create a pay-per-view. If you want to, you have to go into Universe and do it there. And it's totally fine. You can do it. And it's way better because the game's fun to play.
Of course.
But like that's the one thing we haven't really touched on here is the gameplay.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be some more things you want to talk about before we get to that. But
I
remember it was a slog.
That's the thing is like there's a ton of positives for WWF Attitude. And like you already said, it hasn't aged well. I couldn't imagine playing it now.
Oh,
no. But like it was to have all these big rosters was crazy. It's the first game I remember having like real entrances for the wrestlers, you know, with their music, and they would actually walk.
Real entrances with quotation marks.
Right.
Like,
as opposed to like I mean, in Warzone even, their music would play, but they would come out on the top of the ramp, JR would say something, and they'd walk down to the ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very Whereas this simple. One, everybody had the same, like, sparkling pyro.
yeah, right. Whereas this time, like, they come out, they do something at the ramp, they go downstairs, which I don't... This has always confused me, the stairs thing, because I'm like, would it not be easier to animate them going down the ramp?
You would think so.
Than the stairs? Or even not have a ramp. Just have them walk out of the... Well, have them walk out from underneath the Titantron and just literally walk down the aisle to the ring. Like, no ramp, no stairs. I never understood why they put stairs there. And they nailed their... Like, it's funny watching it today. I was like, dude, they actually look like they're going down the stairs. That's something that games today can barely do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you choose The Undertaker or Kane, it's kind of weird because they have, like, these little candelabras set up in the aisleway.
Right.
And it's like, that never happened. But it does give it kind of a more, like... Like, it's kind of like a WrestleMania entrance, you know what I mean?
At the time, it was pretty rad. These guys were making entrances. Kane has his pyro. When the DX guys come out, you get the X, like the green, like the two streams, like shoot off. Like, it was pretty cool for it. It looks terrible now, but at the time, it was pretty rad.
And it had the legit entrance music. Like, that's something that WCW Revenge didn't even have.
No.
And, like, not only did it have the legit music, but there was actually option in the game, because the game was rated T, but there was, for some reason, when you buy it and pull it out of the package, it's, like, set to these, like, everyone settings, and if you go into the options and change the settings from everyone to teen, it actually changes some of the theme musics.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you play as China, and you have it set for everyone, then her entrance song is like Vince McMahon's No Chance in Hell.
Right.
But if you have it set for teen, it might be the other way around. Then her entrance theme is the DX song.
Oh, sick. I didn't know that.
It's weird. And then like some of the guys like, well, if it's set for teen, they'll like the thing that they say at the beginning of the match, because at the beginning of every match, it like gets a close up of each wrestler. And then they like the Undertaker's like, you're going to rest in peace.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Triple H says something that's like mildly like, you know,
a little sexual,
a little gay or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, But like if you said it for teen, then they would use words like ass. And,
yeah. That's bitch. Yeah. I always love that. Like some of them talk on the way to the ring.
Yeah.
And then they all talk. They do these little things where they just put the camera on them and they all look almost exact same. They're kind of rocking back and forth. But they all say, like, I vividly remember, and it's either a girlfriend or mom, but Triple H says something like, tell your girlfriend she left her watch on my nightstand. Yeah. And I just like, I fucking loved that so much. I loved Triple H in the day. Fantastic. I can't believe I hate him so much.
Sound design in this game is actually, even to this day, is superior to some of the, like,
yeah.
I would say the crowd chants in this game are better than anything you'll see in 2K.
Crowd chants are pretty rad.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, definitely doesn't sound like a real crowd. It sounds like a crowd of like six people going.
Right. But Tombstone.
Tombstone.
At least they tried, though. Yeah.
100%.
Honestly, the only knock I have on the sound of this game, and it's whatever, because literally every sports game ever has this problem. Commentary gets old fast. And I forgot about this, but then watching the videos, it's Shane doing the commentary.
Yeah, which is a very odd choice.
Right?
Don't get me wrong. I believe Shane McMahon was like commentating on like Sunday Night.
He was doing Heat, yeah.
Yeah. But like, why you would put him in the mainstream game when the previous Warzone was JR?
I have to assume
McMahon, I think Vince yeah, McMahon.
I have to assume that JR was, maybe this was when JR was sick or something. Like maybe he wasn't available to record.
Sense, yeah.
But even then, like Shane, like I guess I don't know, like who else do you use? Michael Cole, maybe.
I mean,
but,
you could have used Vince McMahon, but Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler is that's kind of an odd combination too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so. Okay, well, so that's the good things. It was like they expanded on stuff. Oh, yeah, the other quick thing I wanted to touch on, it may seem completely bare bones by today's standards, but I fucking loved the career mode in this game as a kid.
The career mode was cool, yeah.
It had like the calendar, and you'd start off on house shows, then work up to Heat, then Raw, pay-per-views. You had to work your way up from European to Intercontinental to the heavyweight.
Yeah. It was much more simplified. There was no storylines or cutscenes or anything. It was just matches. But you could unlock like some crazy like unlockable guys and stuff too. Like you could get the trainer and stuff.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah, I just like I mean compared to like Attitude, Warzone literally had the exact same career mode as Revenge did at the time, where it was you played through a ladder of nine guys or whatever, mm-hmm. and then won your title and that was it. And that was fine. Like I get that that's what it was, and I guess in a way that's what Attitude was. But at least Attitude threw these calendars in. And, like, you'd start off on house shows and then work up to Heat, Raw. There was no SmackDown. It seems so crazy to think there was a time before SmackDown. Now that we're so used to having SmackDown around.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it was cool to at least see that you were progressing. You know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty rad.
It was cool. Also, the creator wrestler in this game was a lot of fun, too.
Dude, the creator wrestler was off the charts at the time.
That's where I spent most of my time in this game.
Me too. And I remember that being kind of in the early days of the internet, where you could go on and look up how to create other wrestlers. Like, people would put up how they created, like, WCW guys and stuff, and then you could put them in the game and things.
I mean, the representation would be, like, totally inaccurate.
Right.
Like, it doesn't look great. But, like, this was probably the first game where you could choose all the moves, like your moveset, where it wasn't just like, oh, you've got the same moveset as The Rock, right?
Yeah,
like,
where you just pick a guy's
you
moveset.
You could pick each move and assign it. Unfortunately, when you had to get into the game and play, it was all these wonky button combinations, and you had to pause the game every couple of minutes to figure out how to do moves, because there's a move list in the pause menu, which just slows the entire affair down.
And the thing is like, and we'll get into that now, like, I can kind of understand how with Warzone, it had weird combo controls, because they were like, well, we're trying to figure out how to make a wrestling game on these consoles, like, what do we do? But then once THQ had even launched
Mortal Kombat too, right? So. That's the sort of thing that they would do in Mortal Kombat.
And exactly. And I get that they couldn't just take THQ's engine from World Tour and use it, but how could you not at least use it as like a template? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like say, oh, this ideas for these controls that they have is more simple than what we have and fun.
Like I tried to like Attitude post WrestleMania 2000 because I thought it looked not even necessarily better, but it just looked more mature, more adult. It seemed like a more attitude-y game, whereas WrestleMania 2000 had the same look as the other two, where it was kind of cartoony. You know what I mean?
Like WrestleMania 2000 has it's lacking in some of the things that Attitude has. Like, there's no pre-match promo by the guys. There's no talking whatsoever.
The music was shit.
The music was. I mean, they had legit music, but it was like really bad MIDI format type. Yeah, it was kind of awful.
But
the music in that game.
But it played good.
Oh, it was way
and
more
that
fun
was
to play.
The thing, right? Like when anyone talks about wrestling from these days, I mean, if you talk about wrestling video games from these days, anyone that talks about it brings up the Nintendo 60, like the THQ games.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I know No Mercy is whatever. That doesn't
it's
matter.
It's like the
it's the holy grail.
Yeah,
of those
exactly
games.
What I was going
to
say.
It is. It's the best, right? But those, all four of those games, right back to World Tour, at least the controls are tight. Like the controls are so easy to figure out. They play great. Attitude, you literally would have to pick a wrestler and just kind of memorize his moveset. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't just jump in and play with whoever and know all their moves right away, which was so frustrating.
Yeah,
right?
you shouted out your buddies. Was it Sean and Miles?
Sean and Miles, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to shout out my buddy Dallas Harwood. He lives in Victoria. He's one of the Vic Food guys. He does shows on that and whatnot. Anyway, that's not important, but he actually was the one that he got the game on the opening day, so I go over to his house and play it all the time and get fucking absolutely smoked by him.
Oh, yeah. If someone knew all the controls, they'd murder you. Yeah.
We would play the stable match, which was the 4-on-4-on-4-on-4, and you had one guy in the ring like at a time, and then once one guy was eliminated from your team, a new guy would come out, and he would just decimate me the entire time.
I loved that mode.
Yeah, we played that was mode the best lot, match too. In the game. Yeah. And
easily. Easily.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But the controls were just so fun. I remember us sitting there with like printouts off the internet and like game pros open with like how to do, like even finishers. You had to put in like a combo to do a finisher.
Yeah.
It is so annoying.
In Attitude, they actually gave you the finishers like in the move list. In Warzone, they had a move list, but the finishers were like a secret that you had to obtain.
And like, is that not like, that's the move everybody wants to do, right? Like, I mean, wrestling has like, for as long as I can remember, pro wrestlers have built their like their repertoire around those trademark. Everybody loves those trademark moves, right? Yeah. Like, and when you pick a guy, you pick him expecting that you're gonna do, like when I play as the Undertaker, I want to choke slam people, especially back in these days before old school was like really big. Yeah. I wanted to choke slam people, I wanted to leg drop people, and I wanted to tombstone people.
100%.
And it was like, but you're not gonna tell me how to do that? Get the fuck out of here. Like, how do you possibly think that's a good idea?
Yeah, and even if you are gonna tell me how to do that, why can't it just be grapple him and press a button?
Right.
You
know? It was just like,
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
So, like, for all the steps they took forward, like, I feel like they deserve, both of you, like, I mean, I know I keep bringing up Warzone. Warzone and Attitude are joined at the hip. Like, you're going to bring up one if you bring up the other.
And then, I mean, even there's an evolution after Attitude, too, where they go into ECW territory. Yeah. Hardcore Revolution is basically just a clone of Attitude with barbed wire matches
and ECW,
are terrible.
Yeah.
And then Anarchy Rules, they added significantly more, like, match types and stuff. I wouldn't say that it's like far and above Attitude, but it's definitely a better game. It's got more characters, more match types.
Well, which as it should be. Yeah. Like with each iteration of these, I know it's not the same game, but it's the same engine, right? Like with each iteration, it should be better.
It almost is the same game, just a reskin version.
Right.
Yeah.
I just like it. I think that as long as when Acclaim still had the WWF license, they were okay. You know, the THQ games were rad. Like I played the fuck out of Revenge. but I didn't watch WCW.
No.
But then once WWF, because this was the last WWF game with Acclaim, and then they took their they gave the license to THQ. And once that, like, and I mean, anyone that, I've said it a couple of times, but if you were a wrestling fan in those days, like, once the once Stone Cold caught on, like, once the WWF really got their momentum going, there was no stopping them, right? Like, WCW couldn't stop them, right? And once that license went somewhere else and then got paired up with the best gameplay and probably the best game engine of the bunch, Acclaim was fucked. You know, they could try to churn out more. Like you said, they did DCW games, but...
They even did Legends of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
When you got onto PlayStation and, and Xbox. Showdown Legends of Wrestling isn't terrible. The gameplay still kind of sucks, but there's a lot of options and, like, different costumes. And the commentary is pretty fun in those games, too.
That's funny. Yeah. I forgot all about Legends of Wrestling. Wow. I don't know, man. Attitude, we can shit on it now for the controls. And it's funny because if you showed, like, my nephew likes to play the wrestling games. He's 12. And if I showed him Attitude and was like, Dell, this is what I played when I was your age,
yeah,
he would be like, what the fuck is this? What are they supposed to be? And then you, like, show him a clip where you could turn on, like, big head mode or something just to make it look even stupider, and you're like, this is horrendous. But at the time, it was pretty badass, man.
Yeah, I was, like I say, I must have dropped enough money to actually buy the game renting it every week.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And like I said, shit on the gameplay all you want. The roster they put into was incredible. The creative modes were incredible. And the match types, like, they really, like, their match type, like, the amount of different matches they had.
Yeah, and you could modify them all, like, win by pinfall, submission. Yeah,
it crushed THQ. Like, yeah. THQ could never touch what they did as far as match types and things like that goes.
Options, yeah, for sure.
It just, at the end of the day, like, those only carry you so far.
100%, you know? Yeah.
Oh, stable matches, man. Fuck, I remember playing those.
Yeah, they're cool. Like, you can actually do those in, like, WrestleMania 2000 in the Royal Rumble version.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, their Royal Rumbles were weird, where you would always start with four guys in the ring.
Yeah.
It was a bit strange, but, you know, I think the games were made by, like, Japanese people, so I don't know if they just didn't understand the rules or...
I'm sure that's part of it. Yeah, yeah. They knew how to make an incredible game.
More concentrated on making it fun, because, like, who wants to be the two guys that are left waiting to be number three and four, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're playing with four people.
Although I will say, to this day, when I play a WWE 2 or, like, a 2K18, 2K9, whatever, with my buddies, the mode we go to right away is Royal Rumble.
Oh, really?
Never gets old, man. Oh, it's the fucking best. Like, I know some of them are listening to this too. Four of us, because every time you get tossed out, you can just select to be the next guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then not only is it fun because you get to keep playing, but then you're like, it's the anticipation of being like, oh, who am I going to get? And then that horn hits and then you get stuck with, like, fucking...
I think my favorite matches in the 2K games are, like, the Extreme Rules matches.
Right.
Which, even if you go back to Attitude, they did have hardcore matches.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And every once in a blue moon, you would get a table on the outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really exciting, but it was really, really difficult to put somebody through the
table.
So
hard. Yeah, it was so hard. It was basically, like, it was almost like if you were playing with one of your buddy had to let you put them through the table to do it.
And, like, I mean, the moves you were going to be using to put people through tables was, like, atomic drops and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, fuck. It tried. I don't know. I think it doesn't deserve to be held in the same regard as the THQ games. It just doesn't. It's not as good. But I do think it deserves its place in wrestling video game history.
Yeah.
For, like, all the different things it tried that other games do now that are, we almost take for granted now, all those game modes and the deep rosters and all that shit, you know? This was the first one to do it.
It's an expectation at this point.
Yeah. Like, imagine if they released WWE 2K20 and it had, like, 12 wrestlers.
Yeah.
You took, like, the top six from each roster and that was it. People would be like, what the fuck? And I get why they would, but, like, there was a time where that was like, holy shit, 12 wrestlers? Like, it was a big deal, you know? And it had Stone Cold.
100%. 100%.
Good times. And, like, I don't know, man. Wrestling from back then is just so rad.
Oh, it was really good, too. Like, and, I mean, another thing about this game is it was, like, dedicated to the memory of Owen Hart. It was probably Owen Hart's last WWE game.
I have to assume it was, because he hasn't been in any other ones.
He was in Legends of Wrestling.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he probably worked out at some sort of a deal, or not him, obviously.
No,
but
his,
like,
estate.
His estate worked out a deal to be in that game. But from what I hear there, like, his estate doesn't want anything to do with the WWE.
No. So. No, he'd be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Yeah, which he deserves to be, for sure.
Damn right he does. Man, I love Owen Hart. Yeah. I've always liked, okay, just quickly, we'll go to heels and then we'll fucking, I'm going to shut up. We're not talking wrestling. This is not a wrestling podcast. I've always loved heels. Like, even when I was a little kid, I loved heels. I loved corporate Rock. Like, he's probably my favorite persona of all time is a corporate champion Rock.
Oh, yeah?
And, man, I loved Owen Hart. Like, and I know everyone, it's cool to say that now because Owen's passed on. And after he passed on, everyone was like, he was so great. I liked Owen Hart, man. He was like, when he was a heel, he was an awesome heel. Like,
he was awesome.
Watching him feud with Stone Cold, man, like, I mean, I know he broke his neck, but outside of that, like, yeah, that was a really fun program. Like, Owen was great, man.
Yep, no doubt about that. Owen Hart was the man for sure.
Yeah, he was.
I think my favorite heel was always Vince McMahon.
Oh, he's the greatest heel of all time.
Oh yeah, if you play Attitude and like nobody takes any damage and you go to the time limit, it just like randomly chooses somebody, and then up on the Titantron it shows your picture and it's like, you've won the match by decree of Vince McMahon.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh sick, I didn't know that.
And the commentators, if you don't do anything, the commentators will sit there and they'll start to act like they're getting bored, like, not much going on here.
That's awesome. Fuck, I love Vince McMahon. Greatest heel of all time. Pardon unquestionably, me. Mr. McMahon. You got any other thoughts on this game before we score this thing and shut her down, Kyle?
I'm trying to think. Like, just like, yeah, no, not really. Like, it was revolutionary for its time, but that's all we can really say about it. Like, it's not making the top 10 list of any wrestling games.
Not at all.
Not this day and age.
Not even close, no.
Well worth it if you want to go back and look at the foundation of wrestling games, because it was a solid foundation.
You know what? Yeah, I would say that the best games coming out today are a mix of the core idea of the mechanics of the THQ games and the depth and options of the Acclaim games.
My dream is for All Elite Wrestling, because Cody and the Bucks and them, you gotta know they're huge No Mercy marks.
My
like, if they got all this money coming in and they want more coming in, I would highly, highly encourage them to seek out AKI or Aki to make them a video game, because can you imagine?
Dude, no. I would pay so much money for that. Every time we get talking about the Nintendo 64 Classic or anything, anyone always brings up those games. And I'm like, it'll never happen because there's so many likenesses and so many, you have to go through so many hoops to get everyone's sign off on it. It'll never happen now, right?
There's always been like little rumors and stuff that maybe they one day would like do it like an updated version of No Mercy with current guys in it.
That'd be sick.
I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but there's like a whole like modding community for No Mercy and stuff.
Yeah, I love following it online. It blows me away.
Forever Indie Mod, which is like a mod that they just put in a bunch of guys from like 2004 indie wrestling instead of WWE wrestlers into No Mercy.
Yeah.
And it was like full on textures, and like the graphics were improved even.
Like,
and
they
hacked it with GameShark codes so that guys would have their moves and stuff.
Sick.
Like, some of them were a little like clunky and whatnot because it's a GameShark, like,
of
sort
course.
Of
stitching
things together to make it look like that. But yeah, Forever Indie, if you're ever looking for a fun time, check out the Nintendo 64 No Mercy mods. I mean, you can only play it on emulators, which I don't know if that's something you're encouraging.
Okay. I'm against it if it's something that you could buy fair and square and give the company their money. But when it's games that aren't available anywhere, emulator,
sure.
I don't care. Okay, so now this is what I want to close this on. That's funny. Before we give it a score, Attitude is always going to be overshadowed by the THQ games. And I would even argue, like, on the Nintendo 64, it's going to be overshadowed by the THQ games. And I would argue that on the PlayStation, it's overshadowed by the SmackDown games.
Oh, yeah.
But here we are trying to do a podcast about Attitude. And I bet you if you went back and counted over the last 33 minutes, we probably brought up No Mercy a dozen times.
Yeah.
So that is just going to always be Attitude's legacy. It is always going to be THQ's sidekick that just isn't as good. We just can't stop talking about those THQ games, you know? But it deserves its due. It did what it did. And you said it brought in some stuff that to this day sticks around because of that game. So
yeah.
This is a hard one, man. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give WWF Attitude retrospectively? That's hard.
I'm going to say like 6, because I enjoyed it more than I didn't enjoy it. But if I went back and played it now, I would still enjoy it for like the characters and the sound design, but the gameplay just kills it.
Yeah.
The gameplay is just a mess.
Yeah, it's I know it doesn't make for good radio, but yeah, 6. That's what I was thinking too, because it's a pass. I might have given it a 5 or a 4 without stable matches, but yeah. Then you brought up stable matches, and I was like, oh, fuck, some good times playing those things.
Maybe if, like, in WWF No Mercy, which I know we're trying to do Attitude Podcast here, but one of my favorite things to do in that game, and I thought about it the whole time I was listening to you and Andre talk about it on your previous podcast there, was you could get your guy up on the shoulders to do, like, a doomsday device.
Yeah.
But if you did that on the outside of the ring and you were a wrestler in the inside of the ring, like, you could run off the ropes and do a dive. Yeah. So you could do, like, this crazy fucking, like, space flying tiger drop, which is, like, you run off the ropes, do a cartwheel into another cartwheel, then you backflip out of the ring, and you could do that and knock the guy off the shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking nuts.
Yeah, it was fuck.
You couldn't do anything like that in Attitude.
No, you couldn't.
I don't even think you could do, like, dives to the outside.
I don't think so either. The best thing you could do in Attitude was get your friend to let you put him through his table. That was all you could.
Yeah, yeah, and there was a lot of, let me do this to you.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Attitude. You are not No Mercy. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this, Kyle. That was fun.
Yeah, no problem, bud. Break it down.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Kyle, thank you so much for coming over, making your podcast debut. You killed it. Jeff Jarrett fucking sucks. I will die. Forget standing on that hill. I will die on that fucking hill. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that trip down memory lane. I hope the music queued up as many memories for you as the game did. And I know that every week I really try to push home the idea that this podcast is just a trip down memory lane. This episode, as much as any episode we've done so far, just took me back to being 16 again. It was so good. I love talking pro wrestling. Like I said, you guys, check out our website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. You'll find all kinds of cool stuff there. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at rememberthegame. We have another wrestling episode coming up just before WrestleMania. I have some great episodes coming up between now and then, and I have more ideas on how I'm going to push this thing into the future. I'm really torn on if I'm going to get into game reviews or going to get into Let's Plays and stuff like that, but I am starting to lean more in that direction. So if that's something that interests you even a little bit, please tell me, because I'm curious if it's worth my time. And that's good enough. I've wasted enough of your time this week. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Kyle, thank you for coming over. You guys, take care of yourselves. I'll talk to you again in 7 days. Until then, go play some video games. Go watch a little bit of wrestling. And just have fun, because that's what life is all about. Thanks, guys. I will talk to you again in a week. Cheers.